Welcome to the Crypto Witch Club podcast, a space for all to learn about blockchain tech. Join us as we demystify NFTs, report on crypto culture, and navigate Web3.
Hey, Crypto Witches, and welcome back to our podcast. On this episode, we're getting ready for Bridgerton Season 2 and chatting on the benefits of DAOs and the importance of giving back in the Web3 space to create equity and education for all. We'll also be introducing one of the 16 coins for 2022 featured in our latest guide, a carbon negative sustainable blockchain you should definitely know about. In addition, we'll be talking everything Brave Browser and Basic Attention Token. If you're a content creator or sell product online, make sure to listen in and see how Brave Browser and their reward program can help you stay engaged with and earn tips from your audience. For consumers, learn how you can get rewarded by browsing and shopping online without changing your web habits. Let's get started.
Bridgerton Day.
I'm so excited for Bridgerton.
Yeah.
I stayed up last night thinking of ways I could relate Bridgerton to different like cryptocurrency projects,
okay.
Like the characters of Bridgerton as cryptocurrency or okay. Like as protocols. I didn't really come up with anything, but I mean, the intention's there. There has to be something there.
Like all the different letter names.
Yeah. Antony's Algorand.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. I was like, if they used crypto back then, who would be into what? And I thought Antony would definitely be a Bitcoin maximalist.
Okay.
He'd be like, no, sisters, you can't have any of the others. They're like, you have to have the original, the best. But that's as far as I got. Oh, and Penelope would 100% have Brave Token.
Yes.
Because she's all about being a creator and a publisher, mm-hmm. and, you know, she needs to get paid.
Yeah.
Girl's daddy gambled away all that family money. But literally for an hour last night, I was just desperate to find any connection, think of any post. So excited.
Still think about it.
We'll have to think about it, yeah. I was getting really desperate though. Like I was telling my husband some of the ideas and he was like, okay, babe. Like,
but what about the Hive coin or the Bee coin? It's like, have you heard of that?
No.
Oh.
It has to make honey,
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
For those not in the know, not in the Bridgerton vibes, the bee, Caitlin and I have read all the books. Caitlin's a big romance novel superstar, so literally has all the best books. I'm constantly borrowing them from her. She's read all the Bridgertons. I'm on the second to last one. But the bee plays an important role in this season that's coming mm-hmm. on Netflix today.
Yeah.
So we're jazzed. I really miss Tamagotchis and Gigapets.
Yeah.
I was team Gigapet. I love them. I killed so many digital animals, pixelated animals by accident.
Oh my God. Wouldn't it be funny if that brand like came back and was like, if you've still got your Tamagotchi alive, we'll reward you with some Tamagotchi.
Do you think people still might have living Tamagotchis?
I don't know.
Wow. I was in like third, fourth grade when they came out, but I could not keep those alive for more than a week. Because I'd be really into it for a couple days, and then I would, like, get distracted by, like, kickball or trampoline or something, and I would just let my little pixel animals die.
Maybe we could talk about Brave Browser.
Yes. I love Brave Browser. Caitlin and I actually both use Brave Browser, and I'll break down, like, the initial things to know about it if it's not something you're familiar with. Browser is a blockchain-based computer browser or internet browser where you can, as a user, you can earn basic attention token back for engaging with advertisements, engaging with creators. And as a creator or somebody who has a content-driven life, and has content on the internet, your followers and your audience can reward you for your work. So to give you kind of an idea of the ecosystem, and just for context, Basic Attention Token is an ERC-20 token. It runs on the Ethereum blockchain. But for the best way to describe it, how it's different from other browsers is right now, if you are a digital advertiser, for example, let's say you go to a centralized platform like Facebook or Twitter, you pay that platform to share your work, to share your ads with a targeted audience, and then the platform gives visibility to your ads. The consumer, the person who's seeing the ads, really doesn't get anything. Like when I'm served a good Facebook ad, I'm just like, oh, cool, product I like. I don't get rewarded if I then go and sign up for that product's newsletter or, you know, purchase that product. Brave changes that. So essentially, instead of giving 100% to the platform, such as Facebook or Twitter, it actually gives 70% to the creator and it holds on to 30%. So that's a huge shift in the way I think we're going to be making and consuming content in the future. Just the other day, you know, I saw the Brave tip token on one of our tweets.
Okay, yeah.
So there is a little triangle on one of our tweets and it gives people the opportunity to tip us for our content. So if we share an article and somebody finds informative, they can send their basic attention token, which they're earning every day just using the browser, and they can give us a little content tip.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it's just going to change everything. But how do you like it just as like a browser and like using it on a day-to-day basis? Because you've been using it for like 2 years now?
Yeah, it's great. I don't really see that many ads. I guess I'm not earning a lot of that, but that's okay.
Yeah. How much do you think how much are you earning like a month? Have you checked it?
Can you see here?
Yeah. So if you go the little triangle on the top of your thing, they'll give you your reward summary. So Caitlin's earned $3 right now. For the past month, Caitlin made $3 just using the browser.
Cool.
And I mean, I think the UX on it's really nice. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't feel like I gave anything up going from Chrome to Brave. Like I like Brave so much better, actually.
Yeah, the only thing I notice is because I use Google a lot, like Google Maps and stuff. So that's a little annoying, but it's fine.
Just because it's not like right there.
Yeah, but I still like use my Chrome browser for maps.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I like it. Otherwise, it's pretty cool. I'm excited to see how it will change the advertisers.
Yes.
I mean, because since we work in digital media, everything's changing all the time. So I think this would be like more of a bigger change, like
totally.
A fundamental mindset shift.
Totally. And it's really like, it's tricky because there's been so many clients that I think we've had that could benefit from Brave Browser before we started Crypto Witch Club, where I was like, oh God, this is such a good resource. But because they weren't blockchain brands, it didn't make sense to advertise on Brave so much just because of the audience at that time. But I cannot wait to do like display campaign with Brave, because if you're a blockchain Web3 brand, those are where your people are for sure. Like that is such a good target audience to be doing a paid campaign with.
So I have a question. I got an email from Coinbase about my Algo rewards, because Algo is cool because they offered APY on Coinbase. So I signed up for that because it was 4%, which is kind of a lot. So
8 times more than standard savings account.
Right. So I was doing that for a while, but I just got an email that says the rewards have changed from 4% to 0.45.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a steep dip.
And So at first I was wondering like, oh wow, are we going to see a lot of APY changes in the coming years, you know, as everything kind of shakes out, I guess, and things change.
Yeah, can you imagine we spend all this time telling people about the benefits of crypto and staking over having a centralized bank, and then as soon as it like really hits mainstream, all the APY and staking rates go down to like nothing.
Well, I mean, I guess it would if everyone was doing crypto in a centralized way, which is what Coinbase says.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I will say, so this is such a good question. And the thing to know about it is, yes, to centralized exchanges being able to set these types of APY rewards, you know, you'll see rewards on Gemini or Coinbase or on Uniswap, SushiSwap, all the swaps, you know, you'll see them fluctuate and you'll see them change. This algo is very specific. Why this APY change for staking? And I'll explain it, because it's actually due to upgrades and changes at Algorand Foundation, the company, and it's not Coinbase related.
Gotcha.
So we can rest assured that Coinbase is not trying to crunch us right now. So I looked into this because some of my algos also in Coinbase. So I got that email as well. Algorand is changing from a participation model to a governance model. So what that means is, before, if you held any algo, you had $10, $1,000, whatever, what have you, just for participating in that ecosystem, you were rewarded with that APY, just based on participation. With a governance model, it's structured similarly to how my V chain is structured, where you have to hold a certain amount to be getting certain rewards, to be staking and getting that. So while you'll still get an APY, having some algo, you're really going to have to stake a specific amount to get your maximum rewards. Along with that, algo is changing a lot of new things. It's one of the coins, like we've spoken about before, pro tip. Algo is one of the coins in our 16 coins for 2022 guide. I'm very pleased with our predictions and what we put in there. And the great thing about Algo is, yes, their model's changing. And if you were benefiting from a participation model and you're benefiting less so now, you know, that happens. But I think there's a lot of really cool things they're doing, which are allowing other ecosystems to be built on their blockchain. So right now they're actually working with regulators to build privacy focused co-chains, but make it illegal to hide, or make it difficult to hide illegal activity, which I think is interesting. I wanna know how they're going to do that. But for example, like, people can run CBDCs on them or other developer apps.
What's a CBDC?
So CBDC, we're actually going to talk about it this week on Instagram, because I think we're going to start hearing a lot more about them. A CBDC is a central bank digital currency. So it's essentially, it can be used on the blockchain or not on the blockchain. It's essentially a digital ledger for people to use, transfer, store their money digitally. I am not personally a fan, because for me, central bank digital currencies, you know, it's using the power of the blockchain, but it's keeping it really centralized and it's keeping banks in majority control. And I like there to be a little more equity in the space. Like, I like having some of my money decentralized. That's important for me. And I'm also concerned because CBDCs are kind of being used as a precursor to the end of cash. And, you know, I think for people who don't have accessibility to these systems or the knowledge to use these systems, and then you take away cash, it could be difficult for people. I think it, you know, can make it less accessible instead of more accessible. We want the financial system to be more accessible for people. So I'm a little split, but I think it's really cool that they're developing these code chains and can be used alongside. Also, a really important thing about Algorand is it's completely carbon neutral. They have a partnership with this company, Climate Trade, which is a service that companies use to calculate and offset carbon emissions. There was just a press release, like this last Earth Day, actually, that says they're working to become carbon negative because they recognize with rapid growth, you have to work to be negative to actually be neutral, if that makes sense. Like you have to put a little more in to make sure you're not creating additional waste. But I really respect what they're doing in terms of bringing sustainability to blockchain and then, you know, creating these layers so independent blockchains can run on top of them.
One of the NFTs I wanted to talk about runs on Algo.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The Coral Reef one.
Tell me about this because you mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm. So I saw it at Art Basel 2021 and there was this huge art piece on the beach that had a projector, had a screen on it that was showing this man's work. How do you say his name?
Rafik Andol?
Yes.
Turkish.
He's Turkish. And the coral wreath in the art is made by machine learning.
Like 3D printing or?
No, images. All coral reef images were loaded in and then the AI makes like trippy, morphish shape thing that's moving around.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's really cool.
That looks gorgeous.
Yeah, check it out online. It's called Machine Hallucinations Coral. So it's all sold out already.
Naturally.
Yeah. But a percentage of the sales went to this thing called Reefline.
What's it called?
Reefline,
mm-hmm.
Which is about endangered reefs off the coast of South Beach. So I really like that philanthropic angle that artists are bringing into the crypto space. And I think in this case, it probably made a case for like it being real in some way.
Yeah.
Like a tangible thing. So I really enjoyed that. And it's on Algo.
I love that. I can't believe it's on Algo. That lined up so perfectly.
Yeah.
I think what you said about tangibility makes so much sense because I would say there are more NFT, and not just the profile picture projects, but more NFTs in general than have a nonprofit or philanthropic angle than don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the art community and the design community and the music community is so sensitive to what's needed in these spaces. And it's just like, we're going to do the whole thing and bring it in.
Another one that was like that is like the UC Berkeley NFT.
That your friend was involved in, right?
Yeah. It was based on a Nobel Prize for the fourth pillar of cancer research. So it's owned by a DAO now.
Oh, great. What DAO, do you know?
It's Berkeley alumni.
Oh, got it. Wait, Berkeley alumni have their own DAO?
Mm-hmm.
We need to get a Pratt Institute DAO going. What if we start that?
Yeah.
I mean, Pratt Institute has so many good creators. That's our alma mater. Mm-hmm. We're obviously biased. We love it there. We both still live in the neighborhood near our school. I love the idea of universities and alumni having DAOs. What a great way to get like-minded creators and people together.
Yeah. I think these are really cool. I mean, this just looks like research laid out on a table.
Yeah. I really like the idea. I've noticed there's a lot of DAOs that are basically bringing people together to like invest in art collections and invest in NFT collections. So like, for example, if you want a CryptoPunk, but you don't have the money to buy one yourself, you could actually become a member of a DAO and contribute to a DAO and be co-owner of this amazing NFT collection.
Cool.
It's kind of like, in my head, like buying into like a more personalized index fund but with art or with music.
Mm-hmm.
And people are also creating DAOs for real world things like real estate investment and, you know, making, what do the kids call them? The TikTok kids? Oh, a hype house. People are essentially doing almost timeshares where they're investing in real estate. You can go to the house, you can use it if you're a member, mm-hmm. and it's an investment. So the members are paid out from the profits of these investments.
Wow.
Yeah. I really want to be in one. I just have not done enough research to find one that's like a good fit. But the one I heard where they were investing in NFT projects and especially women-led, minority-led NFT projects, I was like, I don't have time to be building out a full-blown NFT collection. That's just not my skill set personally, although I love curation, but I could definitely contribute to a DAO.
Yeah.
Work with them in some way, contribute my money and invest that way.
I'm in a DAO, I think.
You are. We went to the Good Night Party from NFT Week at Capital a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I was shy. I stood in the corner and like looked at all the people I admired, like Kirsten Daly. And Caitlin was like, go talk to her. And I was like, no, I can't. And Caitlin was smiling, getting cards, joining DAOs.
Yeah, someone handed me a card with like an NFT download on it, and I did it.
I told her not to, but then when she showed it to me, I was like, oh, it's cool. I was like, don't do it. And then she was like, oh, wow, this is like tripled in value.
Yeah. Well, now the floor is 0.1. It was 0.5 before, right?
Yeah, it was 0.5, but that's still good. I mean, I think a lot of what I noticed with like Alpha Girl and a lot of the projects we're invested in is when the market dropped the other month,
mm-hmm.
you saw a lot of the floor prices fluctuate. But the market's looking up. Did you see it today?
Yeah.
I've been feeling good the past couple of days. It's been like, I don't get like upset by like market movement. If it's, you know, really depressing or dramatic, like if I am down 50%, I just don't pay that much mind to it, which I just think is the key to holding. But I love this slow incline up we're doing. It's like, it feels really good. It's a slow, steady, positive pace. You'll love to see it. Speaking of Bridgerton, because I obviously have Bridgerton on the brain, I'm really feeling like some Baroque art vibes.
I saw a ton of paintings in London that were very traditional, portraiture style, but then the woman would be like blowing a bubble, like a bubblegum bubble in front of her face.
I love that. So there's like a little bit of contemporary, like, oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, or like holding a popsicle or something.
That's so cool. I love that. I just feel like I want to see more physical artwork like that, especially these things that are like, I love that historical with a twist idea.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more physical artwork being made into NFTs for the process, for the reason of provenance. Like, I think every major contemporary artist right now, every single project should be an NFT, because in the future, that's how they're going to trace. When you resell a piece, when you're on market, that's how they're going to trace the value.
I was wondering, so like, I want to gift a friend some art, and I'm kind of wondering, like, should I make it into an NFT, like put it on the blockchain before I give it to her?
You absolutely could. One of your like bogus prints?
Yeah.
Yeah. Caitlin's an amazing designer. She has a side shop called That's Bogus, and she makes the coolest things out of data bends. Because do you want to explain what a data bend is? Because I think once you see it, you'll be like, oh, I've seen them before. But
yeah, it's kind of like a glitch caught in the matrix image technique. The machine learning AIR like really excites me about it because it has a similar effect. The team that launched the Coral Reef Project also launched a marketplace for NFTs, that same thing. And it's the people from Faena.
Oh, wow.
So it's like they're all connected with that.
Are they all on Algorand blockchain, or are they all like, do they all have a focus on the environment?
I think they might all be on Algorand. but that's the new scene. Yeah, powered by Algorand.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is great.
Like all these different groups popping up to like make it more accessible. And
I think that's a thing too that's so interesting with DAOs and NFTs is I saw this tweet, I forget who it was from, but it was like, if you can't understand the value of this technology when it's tied to a JPEG, you're not gonna understand the value of this technology when it's tied to a home or medical records or something bigger. Like you need to understand how it works as related to a flat piece of art, and then you can see how it expands. Because I think even just like what we were talking before with the DAOs and the investments, like this is the new community collaboration. And like, this is how you can create an impact with like-minded people. A DAO with people who care about sustainability and are working together as leaders in the field and as community members that really care is going to be so much more, or has the potential to be so much more impactful than a traditionally structured company. Decentralization, I think, is really going to change the workforce.
So next NFT that I'm really coveting, which I think is now beyond my reach, is Flower Girls.
Yes.
I saw it a while ago and it was a little bit beyond my reach financially. And since then, I have seen it blown up. I just heard that Snoop Dogg has it. And obviously Reese Witherspoon. I think she has it as her Twitter image. She has one of the blue faces.
She does. Yeah.
I really love them. And they're just so whimsical and cute.
They're so your style. I mean, I totally see why you connect with them. They're just fun and just light. And yeah. It goes back to that contemporary piece we were talking about that you liked with the old like romantic paintings and like the bubble gum, the popsicles. Mm-hmm. I see why you like it. It's not totally beyond your reach right now. It's about half a ETH, but okay. It's definitely, that's a chunk. That's a chunk of change. I sound like my grandpa, but I feel partially responsible for this because Caitlin asked me like around Christmas time before you went on Christmas break, she's like, hey, can you sit with me and like do this Flower Girl purchase with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I think about that time, they were about $250.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a week later, we were like, oh. And it's just creeped up since then. And I mean, I love to see it. It's such a good project. It's kind of like bittersweet because we want them so badly, but it's great to see a blow up.
Yeah, it's nice to know that like my gut feeling about it initially was right on.
You're a designer. You know what you're looking at.
Can you tell us more about them? Because I don't really know like the details. I just like, I love them automatically after looking at them, but I'm sure they have some cool community stuff going on.
Yeah. So the artist's name is Barra LA, and they launched in December. So kind of right when we were digging into them, actually they were new. I didn't realize they launched that recently. I thought it was before that. So some fast facts, I'm on Variety now, just to make sure it's accurate. At the time of this article, which was this past month, they've already surpassed 15 million in sales. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. And it's female led, which we obviously love. The more women in Web3, the better. And it donates 20% of profits from both primary and secondary NFT sales to children's charity. In February, the company donated more than 400,000 across children's charities, including 200,000 to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. The Flower Girls also give an additional 5% of profits towards collecting children's NFT art and believe that doing so helps nurture the next generation of artists.
Oh, that is
so nice. I didn't know that. That was so nice to hear. And I think when you get to a profit point like that, it's not the 5%. It's not the one-off. Like, this is a genuine impact. And I mean, that is a quick, genuine impact. To be able to raise almost $500,000 in the span of just a few months for these charities, that's amazing. And I, you know, Caitlin and I both went to design school, and I really appreciate anybody who is supporting the work of like young artists, because it is not easy. It's not easy to be an old artist or designer. You know, you don't make money till you're dead. And I think for kids getting into Web3 and just getting to this ecosystem, like imagine being a kid who sold your NFT to this team. Like what a fantastic way to support.
Cool.
We have this great piece of content we're coming out with probably a week after this podcast goes live. And it's called Web3 Report Cards. And we're grading, we're giving marks to all the celebs in Web3 right now. So the first batch of the series will go live soon. We're really excited to hear about what you think, but I'm kind of looking at the holders list right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people we gave report cards to are on these holders list.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's Reese Witherspoon, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Gwyneth is also involved in My BFF, which does the NFT friendship bracelets. They do a lot of great events. Eva Longoria, Brie Larson, America Ferrera, Jimmy Connors. Who's Jimmy Connors?
I don't know.
Snoop Dogg, Thalia, Brooklyn Beckham, and Gary Vaynerchuk. And also, let me just say, I love Gary V. I hate saying a man is a voice for women. I don't mean it that way, but I appreciate how much he invests in women-led projects in the NFT and Web3 space. And also, I saw this clip of him the other day being like, women just get played so much. Like, you know, society thrives off the back of women's like unpaid labor. Just like there's so much stigma surrounding being married and then being expected to have a child or expected to be a caretaker. And like women are just as capable of running a business. They don't have to say, oh, I don't need anything else, I'm going to be a mother now. And he's just like, and even if they don't believe that, he's like, it's hard to deal with the people around them that believe in it. And I was just like, I felt really seen. I was like, I think he gets it, you know, like, I think he, I was just like, it was just nice.
Gary Vee.
Yeah. I was just weirdly appreciative of it. But he also invests in a lot of female-led projects, and he brings a lot of visibility. I think he bought like 10 Flower Girls actually when they first came out. So I appreciate the visibility he gives to women and non-binary people in the space.
I think Jimmy Connors is the best, or a tennis player.
I don't know. Did you just pull a Google?
Yeah.
Remember Ask Jeeves?
Yeah.
You used to be like, where is this? Like, that was going back to search engines. I remember being a kid, I loved Ask Jeeves. I thought,
really?
I loved asking him questions. I mean, that was before there was even SEO.
Yeah.
You know, so you couldn't just like put a search term in and things come out. You would have to ask Jeeves. I'd be like, Jeeves, how late is McDonald's open? I'd be like, Mom, I need a Beanie Baby Happy Meal. Stat. Good days. So I pulled some tweets of the week that I thought were great. So I'm gonna go through them. The tweets of the week, these are just the ones that stuck with me. There is one from Surge_Women, which is a female-led organization focused on educating and securing Women X's place in Web3. And they tweeted, Whenever you're feeling imposter syndrome, it means you're breaking a barrier. And I really felt that because, you know, I was so nervous to like even show our faces on Instagram, but now that we did it, I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm just used to being in like the background a little more. So that was scary. So thanks for walking me through that. This one's great. This is from @son of Ali. And she says, Gen Z really went from eating Tide Pods to rebuilding the financial system. This one's actually a question, because I think you could have, I'll tell you some answers people responded to, and then I feel like you could have something good to say to this, because this is a very, it's Kate Bunn question. It's from Elena Portix, and it's, how do you scale empathy? A question for 1,000 plus discords and communities. And some of the answers are, you'd likely have to modify biology. I believe there's studies and show it's currently impossible for the human brain to experience empathy at scale like it does localized, which I agree. It's like the same way people can say really mean things on social media to a big audience they wouldn't say in real life to like somebody at the grocery store. And then somebody said, besides diversity, I think there also needs to be a sort of filter as the community grows, as in intervening or kicking out those who aren't aligned. One from Digital Art Check, @DigitalArtCheck. I thought you'd appreciate this because you're the space girl. She says, stop waiting for the moon. You are the moon.
Thank you.
Right?
I like that.
Another one from Serge I really like. They said, weekends are for crypto breaks and self-care. And we've been working a lot on self-care. So it was nice to see other people. The community just moves so fast. It's so easy to get caught up on it. And it's great to see somebody in the community be like, we can slow down. Yeah. You know, I feel like if I look away for a minute, like a million things happen. But it's also what keeps it exciting. I just need to know when to turn off.
Yeah.
You have anything you're feeling?
I'm just like holding and watch. I want to watch the market go up and up.
I feel like it's on an upswing.
Yeah.
I really was, you know, I'm not a like technical trader. I'm not in finance. I mean, I'm involved in it, but I didn't go to Wharton. But I think it's, I was thinking we were going to see an upswing kind of like last September, because of the happening and just kind of cycles. So the dip was a little disappointing, but I also am just like, every time there's a big correction, it just makes the market stronger. And I think now that we've had, I mean, I think we've had like 6-7 consistent green days. My like crypto spidey senses are tingling. I'm like, I'm feeling good. Bitcoin's back above 40,000. You know,
spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. Absolutely. And I think it's going to be a really exciting 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so glad we started Crypto Witch Club when we did.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like it's one thing to have it now, but I think during the bull run, when these big bull runs happen and the markets really spike, people get really interested in it. And I love that we're already there to like give guidance for people who are just starting to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by the time the next bull run happens, we'll be educated, we'll be in.
We're going to put some more free guides up and some more to spend guides.
Yeah, we have NFT for Witches, yep, which is the next free guide we're going to be releasing in April. And then we have a really exciting extended Web3 for Witches guide, which is going to cover everything NFTs and DAOs, how to get involved in a DAO, how to contribute to a DAO, how to make an NFT, how to invest in NFTs, you know, how to use Web3 as a creator. We're really excited about it. We're digging in. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of think now it's time for Bridgerton. So if anybody has any good ideas of how to relate Bridgerton to crypto, we are here for it because we would love to create some content on that.
Cool.
Maybe we'll have some created by the time it comes out.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Till next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Witch Club podcast. Subscribe and follow us online at Crypto Witch Club.